so nervous. But you know what? I was sitting next to Mrs. Wigglesworth. Those of you who don't know who that is, he was a powerful preacher, and Judy is Mrs. Wigglesworth. So she held my hand, and you know what? She drained the batteries. Seriously. They were working until I sat next to her. God is so good, isn't he? Oh, he's an awesome God. You know, I was watching the story of George Mueller. I don't know how many of you know about him, but he was quite a man of God and a man of faith. He saw the kids that were on the streets, the little, they called them urchins at that time, and even those who were orphans, and they were treated like dirt. They were out there, they were laying around, or they were being used in their workhouses, whatever, but his heart broke for them.
Yeah.
And he didn't know what exactly to do until the Lord told him that he was to prepare a place for them to live.
Yeah.
Well, he finally found some places, but George had a heart that he didn't want to ask anybody for any money.
Right.
Unlike the television evangelists of our day, but he does. He just spent his time asking the Lord and watching God do amazing miracles. One of the miracles that he saw was he went from, I think it was about 4 orphans to 3,000. And built buildings in England that still remain. And where these people, these young people are raised, they are cared for, they're clothed, they're fed, they're educated. And he did that by faith.
Yeah.
He went to the Lord. And then he had this one woman who, for me, as I was listening to the story, really gave him a word. She gave him also a good offering. But on a letter to him, she wrote these words, give, give, give. That's what Christians should do.
Amen.
Give.
Yep.
And that's what I don't want to plagiarize, but I'm calling this message today, give, give, give. And the Lord our God is our best example of that.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't probably earlier this year that Pastor Jeff preached a message, and he took us to Genesis. Oh, I'm only going to go through 66 books today, but I won't go. I won't. He took us to Genesis, and he told us that we are made in the image and the likeness of God. And the Lord had showed him, and it really, like, I really agreed with his interpretation of the scripture, that what that had to do with how the Lord worked, what he did, his actions. Because none of us, I don't think so, and none of us can create out of nothing.
Right.
None of us can say that the earth is our footstool.
Right.
Right? No. None of us can say, you know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so we can't even compare to that. And I actually see all of you bodies that are sitting here. And so none of us are spirits. And God is spirit. And he's love. He's an amazing God. And he was the best giver ever.
That's right.
And this is how we can be like him in our giving. And, you know, the very first thing that God gave to mankind was life. Genesis 1, 26 through probably 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. I think some people are confused about that. Male and female. Am I reading that right? Yeah, okay. He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And some of people out here take that more seriously than the rest of us. And subdue it, okay? And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on earth. And so God gave us this universe. Now, I don't know. I was up at Alana yesterday, and we went up to the top and looked out, and you talk about beauty. Yeah, I know that the artist who lived there was a good artist, but there's no artist like our God. I mean, you have to go, "Oh, are you kidding? Who could do those colors? Who could do those mountains and the rivers and the water? How beautiful." God is an awesome God. He is creator. And so God gave us this whole universe. He gave us the stars and many universes. And, you know, it's amazing to me that scientists are still trying to figure out how this happened. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? I find it very amazing. I really think that if anything is organized or put together, someone had to do it. And someone who knew exactly what to do. You know, I keep thinking, as I've been thinking about the Lord, as I was studying anatomy and physiology, it amazed me how God made the human body. And one of the things that one of my professors said was, "It's amazing how we could be so healthy." Because just one little thing, you know, goes wrong, and you deal with illness, but yet the Lord made us amazing people, right?
Yes,
he forms us in our mother's womb. And every child that is given that breath of life is perfect. He didn't make any mistakes. Not a one. And I am so blessed that we get to be here, created by the Lord of heaven and earth, and formed according to the way he knew we needed to be formed.
Right.
And so the first thing I would say that beyond creation that God gave us was the breath of life.
Amen.
Yes. Genesis 2 says this, 2:7, "Then the Lord formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And when I think of Ruach, right? Ruach Kodesh, that means the Holy Spirit. He breathed life. I know for any of you who might have seen Michelangelo's, you know, touching with the finger of God. Well, the finger of God is taken from Scripture, and that's talking about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And it's the breath of life. And you know what else is breathed into? This word.
Yep.
He breathed it into the hearts and minds of those who were writers. You know, the author is the Holy Spirit. But he had writers, and he used them in their time to get across the message that needed to be spoken. And so God gave us life, first of all, by breathing into us our very life. And then we didn't do so well with it. Right? We kind of messed it up. And actually, just to get this straight, it wasn't the woman.
Yeah, that's right. We agree.
It was the man.
That's right.
Right? Through the man. Well, the woman was a little, you know. I like the way that fruit looks. But Adam was standing right next to her.
That's right.
And he knew better. And so man messed it up. And so God said, oh my goodness. Like as if it was a surprise to him. It wasn't.
Yeah.
He's all knowing.
Yeah,
he knows the beginning. And he knows the end.
Right.
And so in his knowledge, because he wants a lot of kids in his house.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad he didn't stop there.
Yeah.
And say, okay, wipe out. Gone. He didn't say that. What he said was, I'm going to send my son, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever, and that means whoever, there's no conditions on that, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
So here we have life breathed into us, and then God sends his son and gives him to us. But he didn't stop there.
Right.
You know, one of the prayers that I know that I have in my life is from John 15. And I don't have that scripture written down for the guys. But in John 15, Jesus makes it very clear that apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, what does nothing mean? What? Oh, no thing, nothing. All right? And so the reason for that is because everything that we are, God has put in us. Every gift. Now, I think about the people who brag about how good they look or how smart they are. Sorry. You had nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. When God formed you in your mother's womb and he put that DNA in you, it wasn't you.
That's right.
I don't care how many degrees you have. It wasn't you.
Amen.
It was him. And sometimes we have to be reminded of that. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?"
Right.
We can't brag about anything, you know that? Everything we have, the Lord himself has given us. And then he does a simple thing. He asks us now that I've given these things to you. I've given you life. I've given you everything. I've given you my very son to die on the cross because that's how much I thought you were worth. Think about it. I know what I've done in the past. I know what my thoughts have been in the past and even in the present. I don't deserve Jesus.
Right.
None of us deserved his shedding his blood for us. But because God knows that we needed to receive, he gave. He gave and he gave. And so what does he do? He asks us for something back. He says, oh, I don't want too much. I just want your life.
Yeah.
Just give me your life. You know, we're those very vessels that are before him that he's forming. You know, we're still, how many of you are still on the potter's wheel? Any of you?
Yeah.
Good, I'm glad. Because he's not done. And some of us, he's got to like crack again. Right?
Yeah.
Heat us up again and form us again because we're not quite where he wants us to be.
Right.
And so he's given us everything. So he says, hey, just give your life back to me. Surprise. I want to give you a real surprise. This is very special. The only one who can change you or me, the only one is the Lord himself. That's why his Holy Spirit resides in us, lives in us, so that he can change us and make us more like Jesus. That should be the desire of our hearts, right? We want to be more like Jesus. So the Lord says, okay, give me your life. Give me your life. And I hope we're willing to do that, to give him our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 talks about the fact that we are the housing of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. And we are not our own because we've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus. And so we give ourselves back to him because he loves us and he's going to just do whatever is necessary to form us and to make us to be the people that he intended us to be. You know, sometimes we want to hold on to one another and say, this is the way you're supposed to be. But God says that we are to allow, and even our children, that's a hard one for parents, even our children, we have to say, I think I want them to be who God wants them to be. I remember when my kids used to say, so what do you think I should be when I grow up?
Yeah.
I'm serious. This was my answer every time. Whatever God wants you to be. That's what you want to be.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, I came from a family where they wanted you to be a doctor or somebody else or a lawyer. You know, somebody who made a little money. But or had status in this place. But God wants us to be who he intended us to be.
Right.
And when he formed you in your mother's womb, he put in everything that was necessary.
Amen.
So that
Amen.
You could be that. Yeah. And you know, being who you are to be in Christ can bring you unbelievable joy.
Amen.
Just unbelievable joy. And so he did that. So we say he gave us everything. And he wants then for us to give back. And I'm going to say something that for some people will be very nerve-wracking. He actually wants us to give back in tithes and offerings. And this is where I'm going to concentrate, because this is really where my heart has been, because I think the church has been deceived into thinking that we actually own what we have.
Sure.
We don't own anything. Everything we have been given.
Amen.
Everything.
Yeah.
If you make money, it's because God has given you the ability
That's
to
right.
do that. And it's His.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is the Lord's, right?
Yep.
And I just wanted to be a very giving Christian today. And I brought 10 little Hershey bars. I'm sorry, they're not dark chocolate. I'm going to give you something, but not all of these.
Thank you, Louise.
He's hyper enough, right?
Yeah.
So who really likes chocolate? Mona, come up, come up. Mona, come up.
It's because we blame women.
You don't want to come and get your chocolates? Oh. Hey, it's bad enough I had to pay for them. Now I got to come to you? Honestly.
I'll meet you halfway.
I'm going to give you 10 pieces of chocolate.
And then I got to give to 10 people.
No, I'm going
to
let you keep all, but I'm going to ask you, can I have one?
Heck no.
What? You don't tithe? What's
like
with you,
dance.
Lady? Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, you can do, no, you can't give them out yet. You've got to pay your bills. But this one, I'm sorry, I am going to give
Whoa.
It to Pastor Jerome.
Bless you.
However,
yes, ma'am.
I have a condition.
Okay.
Well, you see,
after lunch.
No, this has to go to support every pastor that is on the payroll in this church.
Mm-hmm.
It has to go to support the food bank and all of the hundreds of people that are cared for all the time. It has to go to take care of this building, whether it needs repair, whether it needs heating, whether, you know, electricity, all of that cost that comes with it. It also has to go for...
It just all got to go.
It also has to go for all of the missions works that are being done, whether they're right here in America or overseas, you can't keep it all. No, he could probably take a little corner. And you know what? God set that up because He knows us all too well. We would be like Mona. She wasn't going to give me anything. I had fun the other night with my 6-year-old granddaughter, Bella. And I said, let me see how she handles this. So I said, Bella. And she calls me Nonna, which is the Italian grandma. And she says, yes, Nonna. I said, I have something really special for you. I have 10, and she's a chocoholic, 10 pieces of chocolate. And she said, oh yeah. And I was giving it to her, and she says, and I said, but could you give me one? She said, no, I want to give you 5. I said, man, this kid is not only a tither, but she knows how to give offerings too, right? And so that, I believe, is part of why Jesus said we should be like children. She wasn't going to hold anything back. So when I said to her, no, you know, I only need one of those pieces. So she said, oh, I guess I know what I'm going to do with the other nine. I'm going to save them and give them to anybody who really needs them. Can you imagine that? 6 years old. Yeah, it is like the book of Acts. You know, that simple knowledge and tithes and offerings are not Old Testament law. You know what amazes me is how many times you'll hear that, because we like to keep whatever we have. You'll hear, wait a second, that's the law. Well, I'm sorry, but Cain and Abel weren't under the law. And Abraham was before the law, and imagine he actually gave tithes to Melchizedek, right? Who was a type of Christ. And that was before the law. And then it's amazing that Jesus himself had a word about giving. And I know last week, as Pastor was preaching, he mentioned the widow and the Lord watching the giving that was taking place. He was sitting by the money box, and he noticed that this widow came, and she didn't just give out of her excess, but she gave everything that she had. And so the Lord does think about giving. I just want you to know, he does think about giving. And in Matthew 23, this is what he says, and he also says it in Luke, but I'm just going to read the one from 23. Luke 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are things you should have done without, get that word? Without neglecting the others. And so the Lord didn't expect us to neglect the tithe. It's just, it was understood. You know, just like how many of us feel that the Ten Commandments are only for the Old Testament? Yeah. How come we don't think that way? But we'll put tithing back there. We'll even put the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit back there, right? Not for today, but they're still for the day. There are things that are understood in the Word of God, and giving is one of them. And it's not easy for ministers to speak about that, because we are so sensitive about our wallets. And so we need to be able to get it right from here. The Word of God. Scripture and Scripture. This is our standard of living. Amen. I don't care what this culture says.
Amen.
But this is our standard of living. Let me bring you to the finality. I won't do what Pastor Chris used to do. He used to land the plane forever. I don't know if you remember that. He's landing that plane. Man, he's circling a lot. Don't tell him I said, no, I'm sorry, Chris. But I actually used to think that way. All right. So, 2 Corinthians 9. And verse 6, it says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And it doesn't mean that it's a slot machine, you know. You don't pull the handle in order to see how much you can get. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And that doesn't necessarily mean finances.
Right.
God takes care of his people.
Amen.
He takes care of us. So each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves. He doesn't just like. He loves a cheerful giver. Daddy God, we come to you in your precious name. And right now, Daddy God, I just ask that you're beautiful people and you have beautiful people. I pray that each of us will hold very loosely those things that you have given to us. And Daddy, that we will be obedient to this word of yours. Lord, that we might have joy.
Yes.
Great joy in giving. And that we would understand that give, give, give. Yeah, that's what Christians should do.
Yes.
And we thank you for this. In your precious name we pray. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen.
Amen.